Good evening again, my sleep friends. It is Fairy Tale Friday. We love our fairy tales from different parts of the world. For example, Snow White is from Germany. The story of Cinderella is from France. And the story of Aladdin is Arabian. But folk tales and legends are also an intrinsic part of the English national culture. And there are many legends and tales coming from different parts of England, such as from County Durham, Northumberland, and even Lincolnshire. Tonight, I would love to read you a story from Kent. It is entitled The Princess and the Fool. Sleep friends, it's that time to let go of any worries and anxieties that may be plaguing you tonight. It's time to get under the covers into a very relaxed and comfortable position so that you can enjoy this fairy tale and hopefully feel very, very relaxed and prepared for your sleep. So take a deep breath. And it's time to listen to this story from England. The Princess and the Fool. There was once a king of Canterbury whose only child was a daughter, as sharp-witted as she was beautiful. Many young noblemen from far and wide came courting her, so the princess could afford to be choosy. After lengthy consultation with her father, she decided that the only way to select a husband was to test all her suitors with this simple challenge. She would ask each one three questions, and the first man to answer them all to her satisfaction would win her hand in marriage. So, the king issued a decree to this effect, and soon the contest was the talk of all England. Young princes, lords, and knights traveled the length of the country to be interrogated by the princess. But the questions, which she always concocted herself, were so masterfully constructed and obscure that none was ever astute enough to answer them. The king was most disappointed and resolved to widen the category of eligible suitors to include commoners. Perhaps, he thought, some admirable scholar or rich merchant's son might have enough wit to match his daughter. And so, even more young men came traveling to Kent to try their luck. Amongst them were three brothers who hailed from the wild fells and lakes of Cumbria. Their family belonged to the gentry, and two of the brothers were handsome, smartly dressed, and well educated. Unfortunately, the third had been born a simpleton. His hair was uncombed, and his mouth always drooling. To make matters worse, he emphasized his unfortunate condition by dressing in an oversized coat of many colors and a tall hat shaped like a steeple with a tassel hanging from the top. The simpleton's name was Jack. Jack's brothers did their best to dissuade him from accompanying them. But fool as he was, his will was strong and he absolutely refused to be excluded. So all three made the arduous journey down the highways and byways of England towards Canterbury. And whilst his elder brothers spent much of the time grousing and grumbling, Jack was always chattering to himself and laughing. Every so often, the brothers' irritation boiled over, and they yelled at Jack to be quiet. Jack always did his best to oblige, and as a distraction, he took to picking things up from the ground and stuffing them into the pockets of his ridiculous coat. By the time they all reached Canterbury and knocked at the palace gates, Jack's pockets were bulging with mysterious lumps. The palace guards welcomed them in and showed them straight to a room where the princess was sitting, watched over by her father. The two elder brothers fell to their knees and each presented her with a huge bouquet of flowers. Foolish Jack just stood there, goggling at her. The princess turned her dark, long-lashed eyes on him. "What are you staring at?" she asked him coldly. "And yes, that is my first question. And for goodness sake, don't you dare repeat the old tired lines about admiring my beauty, or I'll have you thrown out at once." "I wasn't going to say anything of the kind," retorted Jack indignantly, quite forgetting to address her as "Your Highness." He reached into the depths of his coat pocket and, to the princess's astonishment, pulled out an egg and held it up. "I was just looking at your bosom, lady, and thinking that it looks hot enough to roast this on."
"Roast an egg on my bosom?" cried the princess, stifling a giggle. "Well, That's the most original idea any of my suitors have come up with. But a wretch like you mustn't touch me. So here's my second question. How would you manage to retrieve the egg discreetly once it was cooked? Jack reached into his pocket again and pulled out a twisted hazel wand.
Oh, that's easy as pie, lady. I'd use this crooked stick.
Indeed, said the princess. Those who looked at her carefully could see she was shaking and quaking, trying to suppress her laughter. But to Jack, she said sternly,
"How on earth did a huge stick like that find its way into your pocket?"
Jack wiped the dribble from his mouth with a grubby hand and felt in his pocket again.
"It never had to find its way in there, lady," he revealed, "because this stick's been in my pocket ever since the day it was born. From this."
And he pulled out an old hazelnut to show her, all brown and brittle with age, split open at the top. The princess clapped her hands in delight and burst out laughing. Jack continued,
"There, lady, I've answered all three of your questions. So when do you want to get married?"
"Shut up, for goodness sake, Jack," cried his horrified brothers. "No royal lady could ever consider marrying an impudent idiot like you." The princess shot them a disdainful look and opened her mouth to speak again. But before she could get a word out, the king roared,
"Not so fast, young man. You've done well indeed with my daughter's questions, but that was only part of the test."
"Was it?" the princess interrupted him.
"Well, that's the first I've heard of it."
The king ignored her and went on. "This is what you have to do for part two. Go home and come back in a month's time. Then you must sit up with the princess for a whole night without falling asleep even for a moment. If you can do this, she will indeed be yours. However..."
"There's always a however, isn't there?" said Jack knowingly. "All right, King. So what happens if I fall asleep after all?"
"Then off comes your head," the king snapped at him. And who can blame him for being maddened by the simpleton's impertinence? So Jack and his two brothers walked all the way back to Cumbria. And Jack was unusually silent. As soon as he arrived home, not wanting to be late for his next appointment with the princess, he turned around and set off again for Canterbury. This time, he traveled alone, for his brothers felt totally humiliated and refused to have any more to do with him. And so, since there was no one to prevent him from entertaining himself in whatever way he wanted to, he had great fun diverting from his journey to climb trees, catapult rabbits, and paddle his way through every stream and river that he came to. In one of these rivers, he saw a school of brightly colored fish. "Ah," he said to himself, "those are almost as fine as my coat." So he sat down in the water and scooped some up in his hand. Then he showed them into his coat pocket alongside all his other curious treasures, not caring at all that he was now dripping wet. Despite all his dilly-dallying, he got back to the palace at precisely the appointed time, and by the welcome he received, you'd think that the king was pleased to see him. He was taken into the princess's private chamber and seated at a table laden with delicious roast meats, cake, and wine. The princess sat down opposite him and picked daintily at her bird-sized helpings. But Jack stuffed himself full and drained the wine flagon down to the very last drop. By the time he had finished, he couldn't stop yawning, and his eyes seemed to be closing of their own accord. "Aha!" the princess cried. "I've caught you napping, Jack. That means you failed the test." "Napping?" countered Jack. "Me? Never. I was just concentrating on my fishing." "Don't be ridiculous," scoffed the princess. "There's no fish pond in this chamber." "You've forgotten my magic pockets," replied Jack. "That's where I do my fishing." And he reached into his pocket and pulled out first one fish and then another until he had dropped a whole pile of them into the princess's lap. "Oh, Jack," she said, "I've never met such an original man in all my life. Lie down now and go to sleep, and don't you worry about anything. Because when my father comes in the morning to see if you have passed the test, I'll make all the excuses needed to save your life." So Jack stretched out on the princess's bed and at once fell into a slumber. When he awoke in the morning, the first thing he saw was the giant glint of the executioner's axe. And the first thing he heard was the king saying, "Only just this minute dozed off, stayed up all night catching fish from his pocket? I've never heard such nonsense. Get out of the way, daughter, and let the executioner be done with this idiot.
Now hold on, King, Jack spoke up at once. Have you never heard of pocket fishing? It's the latest fashion, you know.
A very fine sport that I learned from none other than the King of France.
Just step over here, sir, if you don't mind, and I'll teach you how to do it. So the king got out of his chair and reluctantly went over to Jack. And while the king was harumphing and complaining and looking the other way, Jack put his hand back into his coat pocket and secreted a fish in his fist. Then he made a great show of pushing this fist into the king's pocket, pricking him through the fabric with his fingernail as he did so, and pulled the fish out for all to see.
Sorry if it nipped you when it was biting its bait, King, he said.
The king, after he'd got over his outrage and astonishment, found himself spluttering and guffawing. Before he could stop himself, he began laughing every bit as loudly as the princess herself. By the time they had both managed to calm down, they found that the Lord High Chancellor had sneaked in to see what all the noise was about. And Jack had taken him aside and was already discussing plans for his wedding. Indeed, it took place the very next day. And never had England seen such an extraordinarily dressed bridegroom as Jack in his multicolored coat and tall tasseled hat. I'm very happy to tell you that Jack and the princess enjoyed a fine old marriage in which every day was filled with laughter. When the king lay on his deathbed, he could think of no one better than his eccentric son-in-law to name as heir to his kingdom. I sincerely hope that this story helped you feel very relaxed and comfortable, as well as happy that Jack and his lovely princess ended up together after all. Next week, I will be reading you a fairy tale from Italy. For now, sleep friends, it is time to sleep soundly and to sleep tight. Have a very, very good night.